You gotta give me another second. Good to go. Are we live on Facebook?
What do you mean you went on wire? I don't understand. What, you were wireless?
The Zoom was wireless before, and the Facebook was also wireless. So now you're wired, the Facebook is wireless, and hopefully everything is going to work out now. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Are we live on Facebook? Anybody know? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, excellent. Let's rock and roll. So yesterday, in our Torah study, we talked about the value and the virtue of Hashem's counting the Jewish people in the desert. We got a place, the desert. We got a date, the second day, the first day of the second month, which is Iyar, and this was all about love. So we talked about the notion of after the Mishkan having been fully set up and having begun to function, that only after a full month of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina amongst the Jewish people will we be prepared now for, at this really what we would call a pivotal junction in the history of the Jewish people, that Hashem wants us to know that each and every one of us is valuable, is important, and is beloved. So Hashem schedules the census for the first day of the next month, indicating that after the establishment of the Mishkan and the arrival of the Shechina for a full month, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now ready to convey this special message. Are you guys hearing? Is everything clear on Zoom? Not so clear? Oy vey. So let's take a look at the details now. I believe that tonight you will discover something incredible about the meaning of true diversity. No, not working. No? Okay. So we try this. This is not working for now. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to shut this down now. And after the Facebook Live, I'm going to reopen and anybody can ask their questions. Deal? All right. Please move to Facebook Live. Thank you. Su'u et Rosh Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. So let's pick up today's lesson from the second verse of the fourth book of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God, Su'u et Rosh Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael, which will translate literally as take a census of the congregation of Israel, l'mishpachotam, by their families. And then you're going to add up the family totals so that you arrive at the total number for each tribe. L'beit avotam, b'mispar shemot kol zachar l'gulgaleisam. This is going to be counting them by number, but also by name. So everybody's name is going to be mentioned. Everybody gets counted, and this way you have an exact head count of every male, and the males are being counted for military conscription purposes. The Jewish people have a job on their hands. They have to return to the land that Jacob had left, and there's going to be a battle. So you have to know how many battle-ready troops we have. There's much to be said about that. But at any rate, I want to focus on the notion of Se'u et Rosh. If we take a look in Rashi, when he interprets really the word of Se'u et Rosh, he says nothing. He's already talked about this earlier. We know that it is a common verbiage for the concept of receiving the census number. We know this because Rashi already told us. And there's a rule. Rashi doesn't repeat himself. So if he said it once, he assumes that you will either remember or remember to go back and look. Rashi, in the book of Exodus, in the 30th chapter, in the 12th verse, explains that the idea of Se'u et Rosh, because these are not the first times these words are being heard. And as per our lesson yesterday, it is not the first time the Jewish people are being counted. It is the third time. Rashi says, Lashon Kabbalas Cheshbon. This verbiage denotes receiving the number, the census count. Nachmanides is still unsatisfied. He says, yeah, I know Rashi didn't bother explaining it to us again because he already explained it previously, and I know that Rashi believes it means taking a census count, and Nachmanides doesn't disagree. He also believes that it means taking a census count. But Nachmanides says the verbiage still requires elucidation. Why use that kind of terminology? Se'u, he says, is like kitisa, naso, the idea of raising up, appointment, carrying. Ramban says something very interesting. It is by their numbers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vayinatleim vayinaseim, that He raises us. Hashem raises. He takes us and raises us. And He says, in this way, we the Jewish people were given a special virtue, a special honor, a unique distinction from amongst the rest of humanity. We believe that we are the chosen people. This does not mean we denigrate others, chas v'shalom, heaven forfend. We respect all of humanity. In fact, human life is sacred, period. Human dignity is something that has to be afforded to each and every single member of the human race. We Torah Jews do not believe that there is inherent or intrinsic difference due to skin color, ethnicity, facial features, tall, corpulent, skinny, short, black, yellow. It doesn't make a difference. It's irrelevant. Each and every single human being is necessarily created in the image of God. We do not value or place virtue for one gender over the other, chas v'shalom. A human life is a human life. None of that makes a difference. Having said this, we still believe that we are the chosen people. And I know that many people will challenge us, and they will say, oh, Zionism is racism, or the Jewish people are racist, because you believe that you have superiority. My dear friends, indeed, we believe that we possess a certain superiority, but it is not an ethnic or racial superiority. It is not a superiority in which we think that we are physically more able or even physiologically more capable. We do not believe that we have different blood types. We do not believe that we are necessarily favored in a physical, material way that sets us apart. We do believe that we were chosen by Hashem. We were chosen by God to carry out a special mission in this world. And because of that, we have a unique soul, a soul that lends itself to the subtleties and sensitivities of mitzvah observance, things we don't do, which can harm us if chas v'shalom we do them, things which can elevate us if we choose to perform those activities. They might not make a difference for anybody else. On a Friday night, if a Jewish woman or girl strikes a match and recites a blessing and lights a candle, then he or she, I should say really even he, because if there's no woman to light the candles, then a Jewish man has to light the candles. We believe that brings light into this world. We believe it actually makes this world a godlier and more spiritual place. If you light candles on a Tuesday night, you may illuminate your immediate environment, but that's about it. And if you're not Jewish and you light candles on Friday night, you're still not making that difference. That's what our chosenness means. Our chosenness means that we have the ability to study Torah and through it connect to God in a unique way. Not because you can't understand Torah if you aren't Jewish, but because the spiritual impact of the Torah study is unique to being Jewish. Nachmanides says, it's at this point where the Jewish people are coming into their own where God is fully communicating to each and every one of us the unique nature that we have as being members of Am Yisrael. That members of Am Yisrael were selected and chosen for a unique and special relationship with God. Our superiority lies entirely within the realm and rubric of the spiritual. Ramban goes on to say that this is evidenced with the notion of divine design. Divine design or divine providence, the notion that Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth, of the universe and beyond, is deeply concerned with the minutiae and the details of every single member of Am Yisrael's life. Now, mind you, God is concerned with each and every member of the human race, and they are all created in His image, and all of them should choose to live moral and holy lives. But it is the member of Am Yisrael who is empowered to fulfill 613 mitzvot. And it is the son or daughter of Israel who therefore has a special providence where God is carefully monitoring every tiny nuance and detail. Unless you think that the Jewish people are important as a nation, as a people, but not as an individual. Nachmanides, Ramban comes along and he says, Afilu echad mehem chashuv ke'uma shleima. One yid, just one of you, is equal in importance before Hashem's eyes like the entire nation. As it is stated, and this is found in this fourth book of the Torah, it says, in the second book of the Torah, that it says in the book of Exodus, where God gives commandments to Moshe Rabbeinu about the events that will transpire when the Torah is given. And one of the things he says is, don't rush the mountain. Bad idea. Dangerous place. He says, V'nafal mimenu rav, and many might fall. And Rashi comments and he says, many? And Rashi says, if one is lost, it is like many. Afilo echad mehem sheyipol. Here Nachmanides echoes that sentiment. Even if one falls, it is doime kiravu. It is a tremendous loss. Al kein nasan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispar. That's why God gave us numbers. He gave us numbers kemo lakochavim, in the same way that He counts the stars. He's telling you, you're a star. Shenemar, about the stars, the prophet Isaiah says in the 40th chapter of his stirring prophecies, Hamoitzi b'mispar tzva'om, God who brings forth the stars by their numbers. Millions of stars, billions of stars. God knows every star. L'kulam b'shem yikare. Each has a name. Kach, so too here, says Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman. Ne'emar kan b'mispar shemot. The very same verbiage, the same syntax employed for the stars is employed for Am Yisrael. Lahoyrois, so as to communicate, to show us, shematzdike harabim kichechovim la'olam vod, that we live a righteous life. When we bring righteousness and merit to others, that this is like, you shine like a star. Every single member of Am Yisrael has this special relationship with the Almighty, with the Creator of heaven and earth, this special divine providence. So from Nachmanides' perspective, the word se'u, count, it's not just about counting. This counting is a very empowering event. This activity is uplifting. It's inspirational and transformational. In fact, very interestingly, later on, Nachmanides says that this was alluded to Moshe Rabbeinu with the terminology of Se'u et Rosh. And that is to say that there is potential greatness for each of us. Where do we see this in the scripture? If you look in the book of Genesis, in the 40th chapter, towards the end, it's the end of Parshas Vayeshev, Joseph. Joseph the viceroy, who is at this point still Joseph the jailbird. But Joseph, who is already establishing his bona fides as the expert in interpreting dreams. He tells the baker and the butler about what their future portends. And so Yosef, in verse 19, says, Be'od shloshet yamim, in 3 days, he says, Yisa faro et roshcha, the Pharaoh is going to lift your head. But talking to the baker, he's actually speaking of decapitation. He'll lift your head, all right off your shoulders. Interestingly, earlier, when he speaks to the butler, he also says the Pharaoh is going to lift you. Very, very similar verbiage. Going back to just a page earlier, in verse 13, Yosef says, Be'od shloshet yamim yisa faro et roshecha. The Pharaoh will lift your head. And here in verse 13, it means that the Pharaoh is going to count you, or take a due accounting of you. Now, in both times, we see this notion of lifting a head. Rashi, of course, is very consistent. He says lifting of the head always means census taking. He will take due count of you. However, Nachmanides points out that in both the good and the bad, the happy ending and the very ugly ending, in both situations, the word Yisa is enumerated. Nachmanides tells us something that is empowering, inspirational, and also a little bit chilling. He says to us that we are poised for possibilities. We can either achieve greatness, as in an uplifting, a census counting, which can transform us, or chas v'shalom, we can be a black hole. Because you know, if you're capable of more, Hashem has greater expectation. And that's what Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu is being told. Im yizku, if we will be meritorious, if we are successful, ya'al l'gdula, we can come to true greatness. However, chas v'shalom, it can always go the other way. And you know, the truth is, you can only achieve greatness when there's the possibility of the opposite. So now we understand from Nachmanides that the counting that is being discussed here is not simply a census taking, but it actually is a notion of personal empowerment and individualized importance. And with this, I want to take you into the fourth verse. In the third verse, we hear that this census count takes place for those who are fit to serve in military capacity over the age of 20 years old. And here in the fourth verse, we get some instructions about how that counting will happen. Ve'itchem yihiyu. And along with you, there must be ish ish lamate. There must be a representative. Specifically, it's going to be the nasi, or prince of the tribe. The one who is Rosh Lebesh Beit Avotavhu, the one who is the head of his paternal house. In other words, this is actually supposed to be happening throughout the census taking. As Rashi says, Ve'itchem yiyu, kishketifgedu otam, when you will take their census, their meaning the entire nation, yiyu imochem, should be with you, nosi kol shevet v'shevet. You must have the leader of each tribe who will be with you. In other words, all 12 princes will assist you in counting their tribe, but actually they'll be present and assist in the counting of all tribes. My friends, I would like to share with you a beautiful idea lifted from one of the Rebbe's ruminations about this notion of the counting of the Jewish people and how it actually details the notion, the idea of Torah true diversity. Consider this. from the very fact that Rashi seems to indicate that Nasi Kol Shevet V'Shevet, that the leader of each tribe individually is expected to participate in the entire census taking, the obvious question comes to mind. Why? Why do we need the tribe of Reuven's leader, or the tribe of Shimon's leader, or the tribe of Yehuda's leader to be present during Yisachar's counting? If you're worried about integrity, if you're worried about somebody who might know the individuals whose names are being articulated, whose counting is being taken, it makes sense that each should have their own individual representative. But why would all 12 representatives be necessary in the general counting and census taking? Why would their participation be important? And this is the way, of course, the Maskil of David and others explain Rashi. So the Rebbe says that the answer to this question lies in the distinction between this counting and the other two census takings which preceded it. As you might remember, yesterday we learned that there was a census taking when the Jewish people left the land of Egypt, and there was another census taking a short few months later when they emerged from the catastrophic event of worshiping a golden calf. And we talked yesterday about the details of those census takings. Now, as we come to the beginning of the second year in our nation's history, we have a third census taking. But never before was there a requirement for tribes to be counted individually, and never before was there a need for leaders of tribes to be involved and engaged in that counting. This is the first time we hear of it. Why is this? The Rebbe points out that this third census taking is the first time that each tribe is counted individually. And after each tribe is counted individually, we have a tally, and then a sum total of the entire nation. In the previous census takings, the nation was counted, the entire nation. There weren't individual census takings of the specific tribes. The whole nation was counted. So what does that mean? It's all numbers anyway. I mean, like, let's be practical. What difference does it mean if you take the numbers of tribe A, tribe B, tribe C, tribe C, D, and then add them all up, or just count everybody? At the end of the day, you get the same tally. You get the same total. Why bother doing this laboriously? Rebbe says an amazing thing. The deeper meaning of counting is the notion that each and every one of us is important, as Nachmanides just told us, that each and every one of us is cherished, that each and every one of us is individually beloved in God's eyes. And from the notion that we are counted separately, not only as a nation, but also as tribes, essentially, what we're being told is that each tribe's pathway and approach is valuable, meaningful, and important. That is to say, the idea of different tribes amongst the Jewish people is more than just a technical division by familial background. Each tribe was predisposed to a unique approach to Avodat Hashem. Reuven, for example, represents Re'ia. They were a tribe that had clarity. Things just made sense to them. This means one who serves God with a sense of simple faith, security in what one is undertaking. Not everybody questions. Not everybody ponders. Not everybody's a skeptic. Some people take Torah at face value. It seems to make perfect sense to them, as if they're seeing it. And then there are people who need to listen carefully. And listeners want to understand. They don't just take in a picture by looking at it, but they have to analyze the details. And whilst it could be frustrating when you're being challenged all the time and somebody's questioning you, When that process is finished, you're talking about a person who has internalized and is able to personally identify with the spiritual ideas that we're talking and discussing. Because it asks those questions. You know, the Jerusalem Talmud reads as a fairly simple document. And it is said to reflect a reality in Israel, an exalted spiritual reality, where the halacha was clear. But it's in the Babylonian Talmud that we interrogate and really question and cross-examine every single detail. Guess what the halacha is like? 99 times out of 100, the halacha is like the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud. And you may ask, but the Jerusalem scholars had greater clarity. Indeed, they did. But it was the Babylonian scholars who were in the proverbial spiritual darkness of exile who asked questions, and so they were able to relate to something in a much more profound way. They were able to reveal a certain depth that it brought them to a proper understanding of the halacha. Their conclusions were considered to be far more exhaustive and precise. This is how we talk about the difference between the tribe of Reuven, Reuven coming from the word ri'iyah, seeing, and the tribe of Shimon coming from the term of shema, of listening or understanding. You know, like people say, you hear what I'm saying? Or listen here. That's not about hearing physically, it's about listening, it's about understanding. So we have 12 tribes, and I only went through two of them, but each tribe has a unique approach to Avodat Hashem. For the first year, we the Jewish people didn't get a chance to focus on our diversity, our individual strengths. We were just trying to hold it together as a nation. In fact, when we came to the foot of Mount Sinai, and we're preparing to receive the Torah, we did so by erasing our differences. And it was that erasure which enabled us to become the recipients of the greatest beneficence that humankind has ever known. We camped on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which is in just a couple of days, Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, as if we were one single organism. We were one, and that oneness expressed itself in our hearts or our emotions, which were all on the same page. Something that never really happened before, or for that matter, hasn't happened again. That's the idea of who we were in the beginning. And then we slipped and fell and tripped and worshipped idols and went through an agonizing period of uncertainty, and God finally does become reconciled with us. Months go into this labor-intensive effort and great anticipation of the building of a house for Hashem. And that's how we spent our first year of marriage. It was a rocky first year. And then the Shekhinah comes to us. And now it's a month into our new perfect life, where we're at peace with God and God is with us. And at this point, God winks and he says, I want to see your individual strengths. I want to see your Reuven. I want to see your Shimon. I want to see your Yehuda, your Yisachar. I want to see your Zevulun. I want to see you each shine and excel at that which fully harnesses and utilizes your talent, your wherewithal, your character, and your intrinsic potential. And that's what this is about, my friends. Each tribe is counted individually. Each tribe is counted individually, and then all of those numbers are brought together. And in each of that counting, there are 12 representatives of the Jewish people, one of each tribe. Because from this point and onward, it was that group of 12 representing the gamut of the nation of Israel who would be able to serve as the foundation, the bedrock for our diversity. You know, in the Western world, oftentimes diversity just really means tolerance. I think you're kind of weird, but I'll tolerate you. It's politically incorrect for me to judge you, look down at you, or think that you're inferior. So everything has to supposedly be the same. I really think I'm the best, but I'll play along. It's almost condescending sometimes. I don't really believe that there's necessarily strength elsewhere, or that I can find something that will enrich my life necessarily. I find myself to be a person with a fantastic Weltanschauung, when I am open to everybody and I can dance like everybody dances and eat everybody's food and kind of role play in different cultural appropriation, which today isn't so popular anymore. But in doing so, I'm expressing respect. I'm more than tolerating, I'm even respecting. None of that is what Torah True Diversity is about. Torah True Diversity is about this idea that each and every one of us has a unique strength. And it is specifically and only when we each bring our strengths to the table, it is only when each and every one of us shines like a star, it is only when each and every one of us becomes Hashem's special child in being all you can be. It is only when that happens that we have our power, our mettle as a nation. And that's the message of this third counting. It's about uplifting us. It's about God communicating to us that each and every one of us is important, but taking it beyond Nachmanides, the Rebbe says, it's not only in appreciating who we are because we're a member of Am Yisrael, so we're special. It's God saying, I appreciate you for who you are. Because none of us are replications. And none of us are exactly the same. Each of us is unique. Each of us has unique ability and strength. Each of us has a unique mission in this world. A mission that is of cardinal and overriding importance to Hashem. And it's only when we each and every one of us, perform in the way that Hashem expects us to the best of our ability, that we become the nation of Israel that can serve as the beacon and the light unto the nations. And that, my friends, should uplift you, inspire you, and empower you. It should make each and every one of you know that you are special, not only because you are a member of Am Yisrael, but because of who you are as a member of Am Yisrael. And it's only when each of us give it all we got and do our very best that we can anticipate Emir Tzah Hashem very speedily and hopefully in our days, the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen.